everybody. This is the Gaming Guide and Patreon. Maybe we'll get an actual show name for the Patreon too, a different name, you know. We'll see what happens about that. But it's Andrew, yeah. Everybody, and also Mike is here.
Hey y'all, it's good to see y'all.
We're going to talk about ranking Ninja video games, our top Ninja games of all time. This is a good one for our Patreon because
our name obviously takes influence from one of the games that may or may not be the best of the best. We'll see, because we're going to rank them. You'll find out.
I know. I mean, it's an iconic title. Ninja Gaiden. I grew up saying Gaiden because I didn't know Japanese yet. But
Same here. Absolutely.
Yeah, everybody says Gaiden, which is fine. Not everybody speaks Japanese. The reason we say the side stories to the gaming industry, just real quick, is because Gaiden means supplemental story. It means a side story in Japanese. So I guess, I don't know, I wanted to talk about that in our Ninja episode. So there's that. I guess Ninja Gaiden, that title always had like the air, for Japanese audiences, it has the air of like, this is only the side quest. Like, what's the real thing? It's like hinting at something that we never got, but, you know, whatever.
But an interesting little thing about the history of Ninja Gaiden is that I think that it actually went by the name of Ryu Kenden in Japan.
Oh,
Ninja
yes, Ryu Kenden. That's right.
And that the American version got named Gaiden, even though localizers at the time probably would have guessed that nobody would know how to pronounce it or nobody would know what it meant. So,
dude, interesting. So we're gonna get the ranking in a second, everybody, but I always have thought that the Japanese seem to be very good at English word choice, even though it's not their language. Even back in the 90s, when they didn't have the marketing, like English marketing departments, Nintendo knew to keep their name as Nintendo, even though it was kind of awkward at first. And just like all the titles that remained in Japanese, Tekken and... I'll just think of any gaming title that remained in Japanese and they all sound cool enough, right? Why do they have that sense, man? I don't think Americans have that sense for that, for Japanese maybe, but we don't know it enough.
It's interesting because they do often use English words in very odd ways that don't really carry the kind of weight that they might have thought they did. But you don't see them usually until you're over there, living there, being like, okay, that's a bit dodgy.
Yeah, I guess they have the marketing department enough to where they can, you know, keep what the good parts of what would be catchy in Japanese and the Japanese words that would be catchy even in American or non-Japanese outside of Japan. So it's just random thoughts by yours truly. So we have this here. List, and we have the visual up. I'm pretty sure you could probably listen to this episode with just the audio as well. But we are going
In order to make sure that people who are just listening know where things are being ranked, we'll go back over it every so often, you know, talk about the tiers and all that.
Right.
So we're working in Tier Maker right now, and we have it set up so that there are five tiers, with one being the highest quality. And before we get to number one from number five, we're going to take a little break for the honorable mentions for some games that should have been in the mix, but weren't quite, but still deserve a little love.
Indeed. What list is complete without honorable mentions, you guys? So, Mike, start us off with your number five pick, please.
All right. Now, before we get started on all of this, standard disclaimer, I'm not going to pretend that either one of us has played every single Ninja game there is. So you might be thinking, oh, where's such and such a game? There is a chance that I haven't played it. For example, I'll spoil something right off the bat. There's a game that I have had for years that I have not touched, that I've always been curious about, but just never got around to playing, called Mark of the Ninja. I was always interested, just never got around to playing it. So keep that in mind. Everything is like that.
there's another disclaimer too, I think. There's a couple other disclaimers real quick. One, it's a subjective list. I mean, if you're behind the paywall for us, you're probably going to be cool with whatever we say, I guess. But just in case, this is just our picks. Let us know your picks in the comments. The other one is, it looks like you did this as well, Mike, but I picked games where the main character was a ninja. There's a lot of fighting games, like Strider shows up in Marvel vs. Capcom, and like kind of ninja side characters and shit like that. And you know, there's a lot of games where they're kind of ninja-ish also. I guess a couple of mine are ninja-ish, but try to keep it mainly like ninja's the main character, and the whole thing is about being a ninja for the most part, some form of ninja. So here we go.
Yeah. Oh, I just noticed one of them appears twice. That's all.
That's okay.
Oh, right, no, right. Okay. Gotcha. All right. So going at tier five, we're going to say, I'm going to go with, I thought about this before and now I'm second guessing myself.
My goodness. Don't second guess, man.
Oh, never should do that. Okay. I'm going to put out Ninja Saviors in tier five. Now, Ninja Saviors is known by many names. Ninja Savior, I think, might be the name, or Ninja Saviors. It used to be called Ninja Warriors, and it was an arcade game with a multi-screen setup. You went across the three screens, and you might remember this amazing song. I think it was called Daddy Malk.
I'm aware of this game. I know it's come out on Switch recently.
Yeah, it got a Switch and PS4 release.
And I probably saw this in the arcade once, but I don't have much history with this game, I feel like.
Yeah, the arcade version is very different. And this is the thing. I feel like when I look at the history of this game, it's like one game that has become a series by being iterated upon rather than made into a sequel. Like, there's never a number two or number three or number four. So this Ninja Savior, I think, is like the fourth version of the same game, but with new stages added, new characters added. And so it's like completely different, but also very clearly descended from that one game in the arcade. And that arcade game probably didn't have a lot of distribution because it was like three monitors wide. They also made, it's Taito. They also made Darius, which I recently found out was pronounced in Japanese as Darius.
What? So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's really weird. I'm still going to call it Darius, I think.
Yeah.
But this Ninja Savior game, I first got it a couple of years ago, and I bounced off it. I just didn't think it was working right. I didn't think it was that great. And then I was like, you know what? I want to go back to that. And I went back to it, and I was really glad I did. That was it. The second time, I was completely hooked. It was such gratifying combat. And of course, there's like cool ninja techniques and stuff, or like what are sort of cartoonishly presented as ninja techniques. But it just feels so good. It's a side-scrolling beat 'em up. You're walking left to right. You don't really have jumps so much as you have like special moves that give you a jump ability, and then it changes your move set when you do that. And I think that once you understand that, the game really changes and it clicks for you. So I'm going to put that at number five, at the five tier. And I think it's a wonderful game. And if you're going to play any version of Ninja Warrior, Ninja Warriors, Ninja Warriors Returns, whatever, play this most recent version that's available on Switch and PS4. I think it's called Ninja Savior. It might have some other names too, like Ninja Warrior Strike Again or something. I think the Japanese name was actually an English title, but a little different.
They went with English over there. They should make it Japanese over here. That would be funny.
Yeah.
Cool, man. I do want to check that out. It did catch my eye, but I didn't want to spend the money on it when that came out.
My usual advice is look for a sale. Always look for
exactly.
a sale.
Or use that insane exchange rate that we got going on in Japan right now.
True, too. Also, the public library. I just got Pocky and Rocky reshrined from my library.
So PS4?
The Switch version. I don't trust Switch people.
Games at public libraries?
Yeah, it depends where you are, but you should definitely check with your library if they have it. I mean,
that's incredible.
My local branch, my location that's like right down the street, didn't have it, but it's in the city system. So they just sent it over and I picked it up like a few days later. And I get a week to play it. I can renew it too. Nobody's putting a hold on Pocky and Rocky.
Is it good?
I like it, but I think it's too hard. I think that's also from Taito. I think it's Taito published, but from Natsume, which I think is the same case for Ninja Savior. So
nice.
Okay. They're doing the same thing they did with Ninja Savior, but with Pocky and Rocky.
Okay. All right. All right. So my number five pick is something that we talked about, or we will talk about depending on whenever this Patreon episode comes out, in our AGM, one of our AGM episodes. Sean Smith has his company Seanimals, and he created this tower defense game under the Seanimals name called Ninja Town. Really cutesy looking. It's for the DS. I kind of found out later in life that I'm super addicted. I can get super addicted to tower defense. Maybe it's from this game, because I could not put it down. And then I got this other tower defense game that was like super simple graphics on iPhone shortly after, just to have something on my phone to tide me over. And then Plants vs. Zombies also. Like, dude, have you ever gotten into tower defense games?
No, I can't. It's like I'm the complete opposite with tower defense.
You can't.
Did you ever see Harold and Kumar, the original one, go to White Castle? Remember when NPH is in the back seat and he's like, come on, I'm so bored. He wants to go. That's how I feel about tower defense, because I can't move.
I understand, but I know it's not for everybody, but I really feel like it's the type A personality in me or something. Mm. Like, I like planning, and I do like strategy. I don't play it enough. Like, tower defense is kind of like casual strategy in some sense.
It's definitely got good strategy stuff. I think that for me, it's just the once I plant them, they're stationary, and I don't know.
Oh, that's true. Well, Pixel Junk Monsters, this is another, not a ninja game, but I'm playing that this morning. In that one, you have a character that's moving around, and you have to move that around to go plant the tower and to go upgrade the tower. But you have to leave the tower to go get the money that the enemies drop. Have you ever played Pixel Junk Monsters?
Oh, okay. No. I skipped, I think, all of the Pixel Junk games, actually.
It was on sale on Switch, so I got that. So, I was up really late at night for a couple of nights, I think, and beat this game. Maybe just one night. I forget how long this game is, but super cutesy. I want to get some of his stickers for $5. It's like cute ninja stickers. you set up like ninja towers, and like in this tower they throw fireballs, and in this other tower they shoot archery, and I forget what else happens, but it's just great. It was DS only. He said it didn't sell that well. Oh, it sold okay, right? I can't remember, actually.
I mean, I remember talking with him about the numbers, and I thought, like, especially for an independent item like that, those were very comfortable numbers.
Right, and it came out, like, during 2008, during the recession, during that first recession. So it just kind of had like a shitty release time, but they should definitely at least release some sort of sequel digitally, non-physical, on Switch if they can. So Ninja Town, sort of an odd pick, but I want people to know more about this game. Great game. So moving on to number four.
All right. Here we go again.
You haven't decided yet?
I did. Like I said, I did. And now I'm here again. And it's like, oh boy, is this really what I want to do? Is this how I'm going to do it?
I'm pretty set in my ways. I'm pretty comfortable in my picks for the most part.
So my number four here is something that's a little unusual for me. It is a handheld game. Woo! That's Shinobido 2. That was for the PlayStation Vita. Yeah. Now, the Shinobido series, I became interested in because it was sort of a spiritual successor to the Tenchu series on the PlayStation. And I gave this one a shot on the Vita, and it honestly felt very clunky. It felt classic. It kind of felt like Tenchu. It felt like it should to me. And that's fine. I liked the layouts, the designs. It really has that feel, you know, like this is a game that really does have you feel like a ninja, you know, doing your stealth missions and everything. Right. And it has the graphic overkill kind of stuff that's really charming, you know, but you're doing things like going around these castles and going up on the walls and stuff. And that really feels good to do. I think that the only issue really is control, you know. And now, of course, the Shinobido series seems to be gone. It was only there, I think, for one game on PS2 and then the Vita. And then I don't think we got another one in the series. But I, who knows? I could be sleeping on it for all these years and there's another one waiting for me.
Right.
But Shinobido 2 is definitely better than I think anyone gives it credit for.
Okay. I don't think I've ever played this one. I've seen the cover. Mm-hmm. It is actually Tenchu, just by a different name.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. It was the same group. Was it Acquire and Spike or something, or Spike became Acquire? I don't know, but the DNA is clearly there when you play Shinobido 2.
Okay. All right. Cool. I mean, great name. Tenchu was always kind of a name wise. It was like, you know, it wasn't immediately clear what it was to American audiences, but
right. And there's like, yeah, I don't know what the kanji was, you know, like it's just like, okay, but Shinobido is easier to get.
Tenchu was like Heaven's Pearls or something. Mm.
So Chu, even if I knew that, that doesn't help me.
Yeah, it had something to do with the story or something. So, yeah. Shinobido 2, that's cool. And also, I think people forget about the Vita in general. I had a friend that's a gamer, and like he loves games. He didn't even know what the Vita was.
Yeah. Let me tell you, man, they're talking about this, the new Switch one, right? The new Switch OLED version. It's like, oh, yeah. Be like, guys, the Vita launched with that in like 2012. Like, it's a beautiful screen. It's phenomenal hardware. And it had a lot of great software that just didn't get any chance to shine because the 3DS was hugely popular. And you know, rightfully so, 3DS was wonderful, but so was the Vita.
The Vita was good. That game, Tearaway, you ever play that?
Yeah, very cool.
That game was
just unique stuff.
Excellent. That game was excellent, dude.
Yeah.
We should do a Vita episode at some point, although I don't know as much. I have a Vita, but
I'm pretty sure the lead artist, the lead designer for just the graphic design, the aesthetic for Tearaway is currently the lead designer for the aesthetic design, whatever, for the Return to Monkey Island, which is absolutely on my radar. I love
I put it on my wish list on your recommendation. I'm aware of them, but I've never really played them. Yeah. So that's awesome, man. Fucking Shinobido 2. Hmm. There we go. So my number four is, what's my list again? All right, here we go. Yep. All right. So it is Ninja Spirit, man. I've only ever played this on emulator, to be honest with you, because I did not grow up with the TurboGrafx. I didn't know anybody that even knew what one was. I've said this to you before, Mike, but just to reiterate for the listener out there, like in Alabama in the 90s, God, they probably existed, but in my town and the neighboring towns of any kids that I knew, not a single soul. It was just Nintendo and a little bit of Sega. Like it was heavily Nintendo. So, but yeah, I probably played this for the first time like 10 years ago or something. To be honest with you, I've never beaten it. But
neither have I. I love it, though. I think it's a fantastic game.
It's a great game. I love platformers. I love the look. There's something like, The adjective I want to use is hardcore. It just looks like a hardcore game. Like, this is a game for gamers, motherfucker. You know, like, it's...
Yeah.
It's just done really well. Great pixel art. Great power-ups. Power-ups make or break games in this genre, especially at this time.
The power-up where you... The Kage Bunshin, I think it's called, or whatever. Yeah, like, yeah, at Naruto, yeah. You got the three of you running around.
Love it.
Doing the swords to deflect everything. That's... It's a phenomenally good game. It's funny that you bring this up because I should have had that on there, but I was like, I don't know. I play that game and I love it, but am I really even remotely a ninja? It doesn't matter. The game's amazing though.
You're a ninja in it. It's just you're not sneaking that much because it's old school game.
But yeah, Ninja Spirit was so I actually had a TurboGrafx, but I think that this came out a little bit later than I was really paying attention. And
late release, huh?
My first time to play Ninja Spirit was on an emulator on my PSP when I lived in Japan.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And I absolutely loved it. I loved it. I thought it was a fantastic game.
We should do a TurboGrafx episode as well. Speaking of TurboGrafx, real quick, side tangent here, but the best game I've ever played on TurboGrafx, this is going to be a weird pick, Mike. It's called Geki Shaboy. Photograph Boy in, that's the English title. I think it did have an American release. Now, the problem is, and I want to say this up front, guys, the graphics, no. I'm talking about gameplay here because the second level of this game is highly racist. Highly racist.
That's not good.
It is problematic. And there might be another level too. Actually, all the levels, except for maybe the first one, are pretty problematic. And I want to get that out there. When I talk about the game, I'm talking about gameplay only here. Okay? But there's the second level, you're like in Harlem, and it's how they depict black people. Okay? So that's why it's problematic. It's you're like traveling and taking pictures, but dude, Mike and audience, Photograph Boy / Geki Shaboy. God damn, man, I beat it. It was so good. Gameplay wise.
Look into that, yeah. Did it get a North American release so that you could play one that might have been adjusted so we don't have to.
You know what? I did play the Japanese version. I haven't played Photograph Boy, only Geki Shaboy. It might have been adjusted. I don't know, but it's I don't know what it was. You have to time things well and take pictures of shit in the background and stuff. My favorite TurboGrafx game, man, so far actually out of all of them. It's I know it's a weird pick, but that's me.
All right. Okay. So, we're going to continue now. We've done tier 5, and our tier 5 was Ninja Savior. And Andrew?
Ninja Town.
Our tier 4 was Shinobi Do 2.
And then Ninja Spirit on TurboGrafx.
All right, so now we're on tier 3. My tier 3 pick, probably unsurprisingly, is Tenchu.
All right.
Tenchu with the subtitle Stealth Assassins. Honestly, this is... I mean, I've already brought this up a little bit with Shinobi Do 2, and Tenchu is the blueprint there. I feel like Tenchu really was the first time that I played a game where I was like, I am a straight-up ninja. This is the game I've been waiting for all these years. I love this. I absolutely loved Tenchu. We played it. My friend and I, you know, from college... We played so much of this, and it was like, sometimes you just drop in and just mess around for 5 minutes because we love to like grapple up to a roof and then drop down on a guy and be like, all right, that was cool. Let's go grab some dinner, you know, just cause it's gratifying to do that little bit before you head out. But Tenchu really, and you also had the two different characters. So like all these options opened up. I loved everything about that game, and it just really stood out as like, oh, here we are making use of this PlayStation 1 hardware to really try and do something. Let's push things forward here. I was really impressed with it. Going back to it now, you could see all the little ugly things about it, like, ooh, this doesn't work right, or this is sloppy, this isn't quite right. But man, did it feel good at the time. It really was impressive.
Dude, I agree. As you can see, it's going to be on my list as well. But this game came out like a little bit after Metal Gear, maybe. But I remember kind of playing them concurrently. Like you could put take one disc out, put the other disc in, you know? And
I don't know. Maybe Tenchu came out just before it.
Maybe just before. So, but Tenchu, just comparing those two, Tenchu, it had levels and the AI was a little dumber. So you could kind of almost play it like an arcade game as well. Like you had to sneak around, but it felt a little bit less, a little bit more non-committal than Metal Gear. Like Metal Gear, you kind of, it's like watching a movie with, you know, like, that you have to really pay attention to.
Right, like, because the whole story works together, whereas in Tenchu, like, you could take a break from the whole story and focus on your level.
Exactly. So I love that, and I agree with everything what you just said. It was like, it is the first true ninja game, and it just kind of feels like, why haven't we gotten this before? But I think, also, stealth didn't really become a thing until 3D, right? Mm-hmm. There was, like, hardly any stealth games really in 2D.
Yeah. I think that was probably a hard sell because in the 2D generation, the real tastemaker was the arcade. A stealth arcade game is not really going to work well. You need people to have the comfort and the freedom of relaxing at home to play it. Cause you know, in an arcade game, it's like, all right, you play for 3 minutes, your quarter's up now. You probably died. We designed it that way. Whereas if you're doing a stealth game, it's like, okay, you did 2 minutes hiding behind a wall. Your game is over.
That's true. And also, like, the 90s were all about platformers and Mortal Kombat clones.
Yeah.
So, it just didn't happen. But yeah, this was kind of a no-brainer game for me. Like, if I was a game designer at this time, this would have been the first thing I did was to make a game like this. On top of that, the music, man. This game had a killer soundtrack, really killer. They had a full-on singing and kind of folk instrumental, Japanese folk music kind of thing, mixed with or folk orchestral, I guess you could say, right? It was really, like, the music stood out more than even Metal Gear's music in some way.
Everything about it was really just well put together, especially, you know, at that time, I hadn't visited Japan or anything. I hadn't studied any of the Japanese language. I just was like, I knew I was interested. And so here was this game that was like, here, let's sort of immerse you in this time period in Japan. And you get to enjoy all this, folksy music, right, of the time. And the architecture and the sound effects and the weapons and the techniques. It just hit all the right buttons for me.
I think it hit a lot of right buttons because it had a lot of sequels.
Yeah.
A ton. Although it's kind of dead now. I think the spiritual successor is Sekiro, but it's just too fucking hard, man.
But that's the thing about Sekiro. Yeah, like, I feel like Sekiro is, it doesn't feel like a ninja game to me as much as it just feels like a reskinned Souls game. Like, I feel like the combat is very similar to the other Souls games, and I'm not doing ninja things, except, of course, for the grappling hook. But I quit Sekiro because I felt like I was just playing another Souls game with a grappling hook, and I didn't enjoy it.
It was cool, but I just can't. Like, I did beat Elden Ring, although that was that was a nightmare at times. I was having mental problems getting through that game because I had never. But it was a great game. I'll never forget that experience. But God, it was hard. But I just didn't want to live through that with Sekiro. Like, I wasn't, I don't know. Like, it's not on our list, right? It obviously didn't make an impact that much.
Yeah.
So I just want them to kind of reboot Tenchu, man. Just give us a fucking PS5 Tenchu, please.
Yeah.
That would be fucking sweet with better cameras, maybe.
Yeah, but you could still make it as AI janky.
Dumb. Make the AI make it
janky. I don't really care. That's fine.
Yeah.
Dumb like AI that, huh? Often makes for a fun game. It's really I think being so able too. To exploit the AI just feels good.
I think so too. The AI, did you play Elden Ring?
No.
Okay.
I don't play AI any of the Souls games anymore. That was Sekiro was the last one where I was just like, okay, I'm done.
Okay, again, another tangent, everybody, but Elden Ring is truly stellar. It's just really hard. But when it does get hard, you can call on friends and have online battle together. And you can go to another area and level up your character. So you anyway, kind of RPG style. But it was a fantastic game. It was just really, really hard. My God, it was hard. All right, so my number three is Ghost of Tsushima. And I know people are saying, well, that's a samurai game, right? However, this whole story involves him. You haven't played this, right, Mike?
No, I've been wanting to. I saw that it got added to the one of those premium tiers or whatever for PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
But like I don't have a PlayStation Plus subscription, so I was like, I'll subscribe when I know I'm ready to sit down and play Ghost of Tsushima.
Okay, yeah. So the whole story basically involves him losing his honor in a sense to the old guard samurai because he has to use guerrilla tactics to win against the Mongols. Fighting with honor in a one-on-one battle is not working with this new enemy in the story. Right?
Oh, that's good. That's a good setup.
It's wonderful. It's the best PS4 game. I probably would say, personally for me, it's probably the best PS4 game out of the whole game library. That's because it's a fucking samurai ninja game, and it's done really well. Also, it was like one of the only games to ever get perfect 10s from Famitsu Weekly in Japan.
I think this game definitely made a big impression on Japanese developers. I remember what's his name, the guy that does the Yakuza series. I can't remember it, but he was in an interview and he was complaining because he was like, see, now this is a beautiful thing. Like, basically these Western developers have made a game that we should have made. We should have made this. And then he also said, but like one of our problems here is that if we tried to make this a game like this with a middle-aged man as the lead, they'd be like, no, you need to put in some boy band guy that we can market.
Dude. Well, okay. On the one hand, Japan knows what they're doing. Obviously they're able to sell their culture so well outside of Japan. Mm-hmm. And so on one hand, I got nothing to say to them because they're obviously making money, but, and then on the other hand, get the fuck over it and start making games like this. I think that's what we're seeing now.
Yeah.
I mean, did you see the Tokyo Game Show and all that recently as of this recording? Mm-hmm. There's like 2, 3, 4, God, maybe 5 or 6 games that are kind of copying Ghost of Tsushima a lot.
And that's why I'm saying, I feel like this had a major impact of being like, listen, man, this is okay. You can do this. You can be successful with this.
Exactly. So in Ghost of Tsushima, when you can do stealth the whole game, you can dress up in black. I think you can, you can have cover, you can cover your face too. It's not like a full on, it's a more historical ish looking ninja. Okay. So, but the game, like the weather becomes more stormy and cloudy, the more like dishonorable kills you do. I don't think I saw a clear sky that whole game, bro. I was doing a ninja the whole time, dude. Especially when you can do stealth kills with the fucking bow and arrow, bro. That's one thing I noticed. Not the sword, not the Shinobito, which is the ninja sword, not even shuriken. I think there's a type of shuriken in it too, or kunai and shit. A ninja's weapon, bro, is the bow and arrow. It is an excellent game. I think most people probably with PS4s know about this game, but even though he's technically a samurai, but he's becoming a ninja in all but name the whole story.
I mean, it sounds like you could sort of lead him more towards the samurai path or the ninja path. Is that right? You're saying you like the weather is affected by your approach.
The weather's going to be affected, but I believe the story itself, it is up until the very end, all about like, how do we battle the Mongolians?
Okay.
Genghis Khan and shit, they're invading. So the Mongol horde. So yeah, it's all about that. I don't want to give too much away. Excellent ending too. Moved me. I played this during the pandemic, sort of around the time I was playing Last of Us Part Two.
Mm-hmm.
And this was, to me, miles better. So yeah, loved it. I'm going to call it a ninja game. So there it is, man. That's my number three.
It's funny, 'cause I was thinking, oh, that's going to be his honorable mention probably. Because he's not ready to classify it as a ninja game, but bold move. There we go.
Bold, bold, yes. It could all easily right. be number one, honestly. They're all kind of a toss-up.
All right, well, so this is interesting here. Number two. All right. It is simply called Ninja Gaiden. It is the Xbox version. Now, I am specific about that. It is the Xbox game, not the NES game, not the arcade game, the Xbox game. This is the version that I have the most love for. And I actually played the original version. I got Ninja Gaiden Black eventually, I think, but that wasn't until later. So I got Ninja Gaiden when it first came out, bounced off it. The game was insanely hard. I was getting just wrecked by the dogs and stuff or something, or like I made it to another area and then like any enemy can kill you. And it's really rough. But when I first got my 360 and I got an HD monitor or whatever, I was like, you know what? A lot of these games are kind of meh. Let me see what's on that BC support. And Ninja Gaiden was there. Ninja Gaiden, I think, had 720p. Which was, you know, pretty much the best at the time. They had 1080p, but like nothing was coming out in 1080p. So this Xbox game was on par with or better than most of the 360 PS3 games when they came out. And I right. sat down and I played this thing and I was blown away by it. I just couldn't believe how beautiful it looked at the time.
Right.
And it still looks great by today's standards. And now there's even... You can buy it on the Xbox Series X or even the previous models, the Xbox One X, and it has like enhancements to run it native 4K. It's phenomenal. I don't know how wow. they make this work so beautifully. Microsoft doesn't get enough credit for their BC support. It really is a thing of beauty. You can nice. Just buy this game. Just be like, yeah, here's my $10. And now I've got an absolutely phenomenal version of a game from like 16 years ago or whatever. It's you don't need remasters and remakes when they're doing it this well. Yeah. So Ninja Gaiden, and the one thing I will say about this game is everything in it is hard. It is extremely difficult. But every time you mess up, it is your fault. And I love that. I felt it. I could just feel it in the game. Like I misread that movement. And that's why I got hit. I never felt okay. like, oh, this game is cheap or this is crappy or this is poor design. I always felt like, oh my God, I'm Ryu Hayabusa. I am moving with the swiftness of the Falcon. I can do anything and everything. And when I screw up, it's because I'm an idiot.
That's good. That's good.
So props to Ninja Gaiden on the Xbox. And if you've got any kind of Xbox at this point in time, you should be able to play it. You could buy it directly from Microsoft.
Have you been listening to Pure Tokyo Scope, Matt Alt's podcast?
I'm a little behind. I don't remember what episode I'm on, but yeah.
They talked to a guy that worked for Tecmo, which eventually started, they were the genesis for Team Ninja, right?
Mm-hmm.
This guy, this American dude, was like part of Tecmo from a long time ago. And like, there's this rock star producer kind of guy or guy that wanted to be a rock star that became the top dude that
you're talking about Itagaki. Ninja. The man him, behind yeah. this game is Itagaki.
Yeah.
Who's with, he started his own studio. I think, it might've been Valhalla or something.
Okay.
But their first outing didn't go so well.
Yeah, like this, the guy kind of seems like he's all wants to be more image than substance. But I mean, he does make good shit.
He's got the games. A Ninja Gaiden series was fantastic under him, and the Dead or Alive series, that's his. So
that is true. But Dead or Alive, mm-hmm. I mean, you're a fighting game fan.
Yeah,
I feel like they're good, but only for a rental if we could still rent video games. You know what I mean? Like they're very cool,
very showy, but I don't feel the depth from them that I feel in other games.
Exactly.
But I do enjoy them. I've played Dead or Alive 1 through 4, and I really enjoyed them all. After that, forget it. They're not worth it.
I would maybe buy the collection for $15, but not more than that. But I don't think I've ever played Ninja Gaiden because I never had an Xbox, man. At that time... Mm. My brother had one, and we played Halo together. And then mm-hmm. I went off to college, and then I got out of gaming for a bit just because I was in college and shit. Anytime I played the original Xbox at the time was somebody else's. So there's a whole plethora of games there I feel like I missed probably.
Yeah, you need to be able to sit down with this one because it'll probably kick your ass at first. It really is rough. It's not an easy game. But once you get a feel for it, and once you get a sense, it's just like, damn. And even recently, like, I've tried to go back to it and be like, oh, I would need to practice to get back to this.
Okay. All right. That sounds cool. I'll check it out. I think you reminded me, like, whenever you said you feel like it's your fault. Mm. Like, I love it. I don't know why this reminds me of that, but going back to Elden Ring, one of the good things about Elden Ring is... Like that's one of the few games I ever felt like every item was worthwhile getting. Almost every one of them. Like it felt like, wow, I got this. You know, mm-hmm. like everything felt really deliberate and on purpose. So that's cool. I don't know why I think of random shit sometimes. So anyway, my number two is The Messenger. You ever play this?
No, I got it on the Epic Game Store. They put it out for free. And I haven't played it because it was relatively recent that they did that, and it's on my computer, and I just don't have a good setup to play comfortably at the computer right now. But I was really interested in it.
I beat this. I had this on Switch, I believe. I have this on Switch. Nice. It's just like one of those like 16-bit revival games with a great soundtrack that's not 16-bit, I believe, if I remember correctly. And it's just like it's a platform. It's a ninja platformer. There's not really any stealth in it, I don't think, but it was just done really well, man. It had big ass monsters to fight to. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop playing this one either. I probably beat it within a week. You know, I have work, so I couldn't like stay all day. Maybe I played it over a weekend or something, but, it's just it's a great game. Not many people have heard about it. I think that this and what's that game called? Valkyrie or Valfaris. Oh, the heavy metal shooter game.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't played every 2D platformer on Switch, but for my money, those are the two best. They don't get much better than those two games. And Celeste would be maybe my second best 2D platformer on Switch. I know that's on... Oh, yeah, this Messenger and Celeste, I think all the games I'm talking about are on like every system, every single system. So check it out. They're great if you love platformers. Mm. Another thing, too, is I grew up playing mainly platformers because and fighting games. And to me, that's still what mainly I like to play just because... That's what I grew up playing, I guess. And I'll play a bunch of other genres, but I feel most at home with platformers and fighting games, you know? To me, it feels like, especially people our age, maybe because like the imagery is usually too cutesy or something with it being Mario or Sonic or whatever with platformers, people just left the genre entirely. Whereas I still, like, if it's a good one, I'm going to play it, man. I love those games.
Yeah.
So.
No, they're definitely still gratifying. Like, that's the thing, right? Those are all designed to around control. Like, really, that direct control, how responsive it is the most important thing.
Exactly. And all the games I've listed, great control. Got to have it. So check out The Messenger.
What's not for me so mention? Much. Tenchu and Shinobi Do 2 are not like the best in control.
Oh, yeah.
But they're still wonderful games.
Oh, that's another thing to mention. Ghost of Tsushima. Let me go back to 3 real quick. Perfect controls, dude. For a company, I feel like the American companies have paid attention to Japan's tight controls or something, because there were a few years there where if it was a 3D game, and it was made in Japan, it, for the most part, it moved a lot smoother than whatever 3D game was made in America. American games felt clunky for a bit. Mm-hmm. And then now it feels like we're all coming together. And Ghost of Tsushima, like, perfect. Just fucking no complaints, man.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Damn. All right. So now we've gone through 5 through 2, and we're going into the honorable mention category.
Indeed.
Which is where I'm going to put a game that I feel belongs here, but doesn't really. So my game is Metal Gear Solid. I mean, I think everybody knows what I'm talking about. I think everybody has played it. This is a very well-known game. There's not a lot of secrets to unearth here. But Metal Gear Solid is, you know, it's a stealth action game. It's very much, you're very much a ninja in the way you play it. I mean, you could do a lot of combat stuff in there, but I ended up going through it trying to stealth choke everyone to death. I wanted nobody to see me ever. It was great.
That is true.
I loved everything about it. I played through it enough times that I also got the invisibility camouflage or whatever.
Oh, and then I was just that.
Going around, and I would run up and be like, boom, punch him in the face. And they'd be like, what was that? Where is it? Where'd he go? And I'd be like, you'll never see me, man. I got my invisible camo on. I'm the Predator.
God, so, yeah, I forgot about that.
Metal Gear Solid, you're not a ninja, right? But you're clearly a stealth warrior, assassin, whatever. It's definitely a spirit of the ninja. So I give it an honorable, why can I not say that word? Honorable mention, because it is very much a ninja game without being a ninja game.
I mean, it's pretty much a ninja game, man. I mean, it's tactical espionage action. Like, it's got espionage in the subtitle. So you don't look like your typical ninja, but stealth is the name of the game in this game. So, I have no qualms with this being on your list. It could have been in the regular list, you know, I think that would have been fine. So that's great. I don't know when this episode will come out, but we're going to have an episode with Jeremy Blaustein, the guy that translated this.
Yep.
And, you know, really great. That was a really great episode. I'll say this behind the Patreon, I guess, but personally, one of my favorite episodes we recorded. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a
We ended up talking for a long time after the episode, too. So,
yeah, a lot of that was off the record, though.
It was a lot. We had a long conversation. I feel like our relationships all really grew in the time that we talked.
I know. If it's not out yet, wait till that comes out, because that was really a good one. So I think we're going to be releasing that as episode 6 in this season. So yeah, check it out. Great, great title, man. Mine's going to be Ninja Baseball Bat Man. Do you know of this game?
I've never played it. I've been looking at that image of the game. Like, I don't know that one. I can't even tell what I'm looking at.
Like right here is what you're talking about?
The box art or whatever. I cannot figure out what I'm looking at.
Okay. It's honorable mention because it's stretching a little bit, but Ninja's in the title.
Yeah.
You don't even know about this game?
No. I've never played it.
Okay.
Never even heard of it.
This is an arcade game, MAME. I've only played this on MAME on emulator. So It is a beat 'em up. It's a 2D beat 'em up. It's in the same vein as Turtles in Time, X-Men Arcade, all that kind of shit. I think it never came out in America. You are like a ninja-looking robot. You can choose between three of those kind of robots. And it's kind of a cartoony mix between a baseball uniform and ninjas. It's super cartoony, but it is a lot of fun. And the title's confusing because you think it's going to be a Batman game, but it's Baseball Bat Man. Okay? It's a good one. It's fun. I've probably beaten it once. Again, on emulator, it's easy because you just keep pressing select, put coins in. But, I mean, again, this is one that they should release on download at least, like non-physical on Switch. It's just so perfect. They'd easily make money.
Yeah, like it sounds like you're saying it's an arcade game, so it could be on that ACA line or whatever it is, Arcade Archives. I know Ninja Spirit is there. You could get the Ninja Spirit Arcade Edition on Switch.
Nice.
And PS4, I think. But not Xbox, unfortunately.
Okay. Well, probably eventually on Game Pass. Like that'd everything be nice. Else in the world. So, Ninja Baseball Batman. Definitely check it out. If you like beat 'em ups, which I'm sure everybody listening here does, and I know you do, Mike, like you got it. You gotta check it out. It's one of those hidden gems, man. The MAME hidden gems are some real hidden gems, huh?
Yeah. It's tough, you know. A lot of arcade games just don't get the kind of distribution. Or, you know, we were kids and we couldn't get to an arcade for a couple of weeks. And something wasn't making money. It got taken out. Never heard of it. Simple as that.
Oh, dude. And there's another aspect, too. This is, again, kind of tangential, but... This Retronauts, but 302010 podcast I used to listen to more. But anyway, they would go over like when arcade games were released.
Mm-hmm.
But especially in the 80s and 90s, especially early 90s, no one really knows what a lot of arcade releases are because no one gave a shit. And there was no real set time. It was like, you know, maybe you could base it on the first batch that went to one area. But it was just like every game was probably a slow release across the country.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You were in New York, yeah. So I think you were kind of lucky. But, man, me in Alabama, we only got the major ones generally.
Well, that's the thing, too. Like, we had in my neighborhood, we basically had, like, two places in the neighborhood that would get a machine, a single machine in each place. Yeah. So, it was pretty limited there. The big thing was like when I could get over to Nathan's, my father would take me or whatever, get a hot dog and go play some games. And I would take a run around the floor to see what all was there, if there was something new. So, but that wasn't, you know, that might've been once a month or once every other month. It's hard to tell when, you know, what time existed as when you were a kid. It's really hard to tell.
That's true. This man, Nathan's, dude, I want to go back in time with you to Nathan's, bro. It feels like a magical place.
Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful.
We had the arcade in Eastdale Mall in Montgomery, Alabama. Hmm. And that was our place. That's where I probably played Mortal Kombat 1 at home the first time, but Mortal Kombat 2, Killer Instinct, Killer Instinct 2, Virtual Fighter, all the fighting games of the 90s, I played at the Eastdale Mall. And that was 40 minutes away or so from my hometown. So that was usually a weekend trip only.
Yeah.
But it was near the movie theater also, so it was an arcade and a movie trip, you know what I'm saying? So there you go.
Yeah.
So we're at number one, everybody.
All right. So before we move on to the number ones, those of you who are watching this on YouTube, you'll have figured it out. You have the stuff in front of you. But those of you who are listening through some headphones and just enjoying it in audio form, we're going to do a little review. All right. So we'll go back to level five. Mine was Ninja Savior. Andrew?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Ninja Baseball. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Number five.
Ninja Town. Ninja Town.
All right. Number four, mine was Shinobi Doe 2.
Nine was Ninja Spirit.
Number three, mine was Tenchu Stealth Assassins.
Mine was Ghost of Tsushima.
And number two, mine was Ninja Gaiden, the Xbox version.
And then mine was the Messenger.
An honorable mention for me went to Metal Gear Solid.
And then mine was Ninja Baseball Bat Man.
All right. And here we go. Here it is. The big one. Number one.
Woo!
My number one is The Revenge of Shinobi.
Woo!
On the Sega Genesis. Now, you might also call this, I believe, Super Shinobi on the Mega Drive, but I knew it as The Revenge of Shinobi on Sega Genesis. The Genesis was an absolute thing of beauty for me. I was a Sega Master System kid. You know, I had a Nintendo Entertainment System. I had TurboGrafx. I had a Sega Master System. But Sega Master System was really where it was at for me because I was an arcade kid. So I played Shinobi in the arcade. I played Shinobi on the Master System. And when the Genesis came along, I couldn't believe how good those things looked. Like, oh my God, Altered Beast, this is arcade perfect.
Right, right.
When I got Revenge of Shinobi, it was just like, oh, this game is so beautiful. I don't think I've ever seen anything that looks better than this. This is so cool. And the music was so good. That title screen too. So for those who don't know much about Revenge of Shinobi, it's a sequel to the original Shinobi. It's a side-scrolling shooter, basically. It's like, it was Sega's answer initially, I believe, to Rolling Thunder. And it's a little better than Rolling Thunder. You go around, you save these kids, and then you fight a boss at the end or whatever. But in Revenge of Shinobi, you're not saving any kids or anything. You're just doing cool stuff and fighting bosses. But the bosses are something very interesting. The bosses are popular characters from other things. In the original version of Revenge of Shinobi, which is what I had, because, you know, we didn't know anything about revamped or patched cartridges or anything like that. It was, I think I fought Godzilla and then Spider-Man.
Batman too, right?
Batman and the Terminator. it was just kind of crazy. But like, that wasn't the important thing to me about the game. The game was just phenomenally good, right?
Right.
As a side scroller, you had your sword. You know, when you got close to them, the sword would go out to get them. You threw your shuriken. The title screen had Sonny Chiba on it as Hattori Hanzo. It was awesome. Now, at that time, right, I didn't know who he was, but I remember looking at some footage of a later version and being like, that doesn't look right. Those aren't the eyes. And it's because they had like taken the image of Hattori Hanzo from whatever movie and just put it as the title screen. The other good thing about this was, you know, it's about that difficulty argument. This game had a cheat in it where if you left the option screen selection on the number of shuriken, you put it at 00 and just left it there for a few seconds, it would morph into an infinite symbol. And then you could play the game with infinite shuriken. And eventually, I think in like, I don't know, stage 2-4 or something like that, you had a little loop where you could get 2 1-ups. So you could keep doing that to get yourself to 99 and then continue with the game. Because back then you didn't save your game. You had to beat it in one go. So I did that. I did all those things and I absolutely loved that game. I would get up to a certain point and die and come back to it and keep doing that. And then I did those cheats basically to make it through. And I loved every minute of it. And to this day, the music is just amazing. I think it was, it's the guy, I think his name is Yuzo Koshiro, who did Streets of Rage also. He's just a phenomenal composer. Like, I think Revenge of Shinobi also was a little bit of that house music influence at the time. And we're talking like Chicago house music in like 1990 or whatever. Not what most folks nowadays might refer to as house music.
Dude, I feel bad, man, because I play this on emulator. I don't have nostalgia for it because I did not have this on Genesis. Also, my family, we got Genesis really late. Mm-hmm. I remember we got it maybe in 93 or something.
Oh, by that time, I think Shinobi 3 was available too.
Maybe 92 was before Saturn, of course, but mm-hmm. we I remember we paid like 80 or 90 bucks for it with Sonic. It was like, you know, it came out in 89, right? Like we were a few years after the fact.
Yeah.
We were a Nintendo family, and then the obvious thing was to get Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Super Nintendo was still going good, we were simmered down with that. Then we got the Genesis, and in my memory, Genesis was mainly about Sonic and Ristar and Comic Zone, and then Vector Man.
Huh. Yeah, that's all really late stage stuff for me.
That's late. Yeah, I remember Vector Man. There was a Vector Man 2. That was that was out when the Saturn was out, when Vector Man 2 came out. That was that might have been like the last game released for the system. But if I had seen this cover, I don't think I ever really saw this cover either, dude. Like,
oh, I love that artwork.
I know, I love it. I would have definitely picked this up at least a rental. Are you kidding me? But I feel bad. I did my childhood a disservice by not playing this. So, yeah, I mean, I've played it since then. It's an excellent game. I never beat it. I forgot all the pop culture shit that is in it. But yeah.
So if anybody wants to give that game a shot, I think it might be on one of those Genesis collections, but it's going to be a revised edition. So like Godzilla would be like a walking skeleton with some flesh. I don't know what all the... I think they changed Batman into like a greenish... bat goblin kind of thing, so they won't really be what they were originally. So if you want to play it the way it originally was, you're either going to have to get an OG cartridge or you're going to have to emulate it.
You're going to have to find some ways for it to happen, and for sure online. My number one's Tenchu, man.
Beautiful.
So it's just like we said already, it's the ninja game in my eyes.
Yeah.
It was the first truly ninja experience. What can we say that we haven't already said?
Mm-hmm.
It would be the game that I like would have made at the time if I was a developer, like I said. And I think the only game, like Ghost of Tsushima, was like another one of those games that was like they finally made like one of my dream games.
Uh-huh.
I think the next dream game for me is sort of mixing Tenchu with Elden Ring. And Ghost of Tsushima kind of open world, but Ghost of Tsushima is pretty historical. It's realistic. I would do, because every time you think of fantasy, unless it's Final Fantasy or something, you generally think of like Tolkien style European based fantasy. But I would do a Japanese one, kind of like Breath of the Wild, but with ninja and with monsters, yokai, all that kind of shit. And that's like another like, dream game of mine. But anyway, back to Tenchu. I mean, it was kind of easier to play again, and like it was just it was like the first true in earnest ninja experience on any console or computer ever, with a great soundtrack. It just doesn't get better than that. I played all of the sequels as well. They're all pretty much all good too, but I'm putting the first one here because it's the first.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, like I had with Shinobi Do too, where I'm like, well, it's kind of the same game, you know? But and it's funny because a lot of my early trepidation as we came here, as I started to rethink things, was like, Tenchu is number one. But what do I love the most?
Personally,
what do I want to go back to the most? And
right,
it's Revenge of Shinobi and Ninja Gaiden. So the funny thing is, if I had kept my original order, we would have both landed on Tenchu at number one.
I mean, it, in some ways, it's kind of the obvious pick, I guess. But you know, like, it's the obvious pick. It just makes sense. It's the best. They need to bring it back, for the love of God.
And I think it shows that there's something missing from the market. Like, there's just not enough like it out there. There really isn't.
Isn't like ninja shit? To me, it seemed like a no-brainer, man. I mean, they got Aragami is out right now, and like ninja games come out, but they don't really hit the mark like Tenchu did.
The it Poison was Rice, a smaller too. Market, you know?
Setting up Poison Rice for the fat warlord Shogun to eat and see his fucking dumbass that's about to rape a girl die in the game mm-hmm. also was like the best.
Yeah.
If they bring it back again, it would be cool if they did like, don't know if they did this in the sequels or ever, if they ever did it in any of the games, but in ninja lore in Japan, there's a lot of like them under the floorboards and like doing mm-hmm. like this, like sword up through and like going through the, like somebody sleeping on the floor. So you get their torso or, like at least get their feet or something. Like mm-hmm. I remember being in, one of the castles in Japan, and they told us that like they would put bells in the floorboard to make sure it was like ninja proof.
Yeah. I was in that castle that was like called like Nightingale floorboards or something, or the Nightingale Castle. I can't remember. And like, it's like an old house. You can't step without every board squeaking.
Creaking like crazy. Yeah. Like, yeah.
They whistled like a nightingale. It was really interesting. And it was, yeah, to ninja-proof cool. the place.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's great.
It might have been when I was in Kyoto. I can't remember where it was.
We just need more of it, man. I mean, I think Japan went through another slight ninja boom with Naruto, and America did slightly mm-hmm. as well. Like, Naruto kind of became the Ninja Turtles of a generation mm-hmm. For them. So, I would say a lot of the Ninja Turtles games would also be an honorable mention, like Turtles in Time, but...
Yeah, yeah. But, like, but, there's nothing about... As much as I love them, nothing about it really feels like a ninja to me, so...
Yeah, they don't really sneak around. And to be honest, Ninja Baseball Batman, there's no sneaking either, but the ninja's at least in the name, so... so, yeah. This is a great list, and we didn't really, like... have the same, we only had one double up and it wasn't the same position, so that's cool. I like doing this. That's the list, everybody. Any other kind of thing before we're out of here, Mike?
We're gonna probably do some other lists like this in the future, so whatever feedback you've got for us, we'd like to hear it, you know?
Yeah, let us know. We've got some more Patreon content coming out. Of course, we're going to basically have the season's, it's going to align with the season of the regular show. So we're going to have 10 episodes of the regular show and 10 episodes for the Patreon. So for the first season, right? And maybe a little bit more bonus content from that sprinkled here and there, but 10 regular episodes are planned. So there it is. Thank you guys for being a part of our Patreon. And I guess that's it. We will check you later.
Thank you all. Have a good one. Thank you.